clear and muffled.
Yeah.
And I would love something like this. Just like every time I get a little idea, I could just do. It's like the most annoying thing to be that person who's like, wait, guys, I have a melody. But yeah, I would be really useful.
It's always like kind of embarrassing when you have an idea in public and you're like trying to work it out.
Also, it's very like main character syndrome to be like, wait, guys, like let me just like do my epic like melody to my phone. I'm a musician, by the way.
Oh God, main character syndrome is such a big problem right now.
It really is.
It's very abusive. It's like, I don't know. Like I've been talking about this a lot. And yeah, you know how you're talking about how you, there's like a part of your brain where you just wish you were like, I feel like I want to lobotomize the part of my mind that is preoccupied with the narrative that others
like
have
project onto
not me, because it has nothing to do with me, but it's like everyone's sort of like a little character in their story. And there's like this assumption that like their life is really about them, and it's not some shared experience, or actually no, you're just a character amongst characters, you know.
Read somewhere that the guy from Counting Crows like went crazy and has some like solipsism syndrome. That's like, I don't know if it's a real thing, but apparently he went kind of nuts and like struggled to perceive any reality but his own as the objective truth. I feel like that's like the ultimate main character syndrome. But apparently he went, I don't remember who told me this. It could have been a lie, but
yeah, basically. That's like pure nominalist idealism or something like that. I think about that too, but that's at least like a little bit interesting. But as soon as you start being like,
well, Stella's so bad.
It's bad?
Yeah.
Oh no, I'm sorry.
I haven't ordered like a beer from a place here.
Ooh, I'm gonna get a grilled chicken breast.
I don't know if I want quesadilla.
Quesadillas are good here. I've had the bean and cheese one. It's really good.
That sounds intense. But should I be eating beans, like many beans before my set, you know?
Yeah, that's not a good idea. I would like take it easy if I were you. You're like out in the tunnels. It's going to be fucking so
hot. It's
going to
be hot and like dank.
Yeah.
Miserable.
Yeah.
Can't wait.
I'm probably gonna get a
there's nachos also.
Let's see.
They have the top.
I'm just gonna get
no separate checks after 4 p.m.
Oh, wow. Let's see. I want a barbecue cheeseburger, actually. And fries. Yeah, I'm gonna get that.
But you're so right about main character syndrome being the, like, biggest problem about
It's like all this internet shit, and I don't know, for context, we met on the internet.
But I meet everyone I know, and I don't know anyone. None of my friends in person are people that I just met sort of like organically.
Yeah.
You know? So.
I've met some people organically. I feel like a lot of my friends.
This is the kind of city maybe though where you can be, I don't know. Like if you're hanging out, if I would go sit up there, maybe someone would come up and start talking to me.
Yeah.
And, you know. But our default is to think, well, that person's a freak, like, you know?
Yeah. Here people just talk to each other. It's kind of like,
I've noticed people are so much kinder in America. I really forgot how nice people are here.
Yeah.
Being in Germany, where people are just, like, very cold and very standoffish, like I feel personally. And then being in Florida, I just can't, like, everyone wants to strike up a conversation with you. Like, person at the cash register, just, like, asking my day. I've been going to this coffee shop to work. And one of the guys who works there noticed that I was in Ableton, and he was like, what's that? Like, what are you doing? And I was like, I'm producing music. And he wanted to know about it.
Yeah.
That would never happen in Germany.
Yeah, it's weird. It's like, I feel like places that are super...
You don't want any food?
Yeah, sure.
Can I get a taco salad, please?
Yes. Do you want a dressing or you want just like sour cream?
Sour cream would be awesome. Yeah.
I'll get a barbecue cheeseburger and a dinner salad.
What kind of dressing do you want on that dinner salad?
What do you have?
Ranch French and Thousand Island.
I'll get Thousand Island.
And you want that salad up first?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
And I was also wondering, could I add like chicken to the taco salad? Is it possible?
Does it? I thought it comes with something.
It says lettuce, tomatoes, cheese, chili beans, tortilla chips.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You want to add chicken?
Yeah.
A little protein.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. Get these out of your way.
Good. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. Sorry about that. Yeah, no, it's weird. It's like, I feel like, because Berlin is so, not Berlin, but just Germany in general.
Well, Berlin is actually the friendliest place in Germany.
Really?
By far, I would say. Yeah, of course.
More so than Cologne? I had a different experience, maybe.
Really? Were you in Cologne before also?
I was playing a show there years ago.
Oh, where?
I played a few shows in Cologne. I played Cologne like 3 times or something like that, and everyone there just seemed way nicer to me. I don't know.
No, people are always extra nice to you when you're like the artist in the band, you know?
That's true, but they were mean to me in
Berlin.
Yeah, they were just mean. Well, we played at the Berghain Cantina one time, but I feel like people in Berlin are really nice to you when they're on a lot of drugs.
Yes.
So I couldn't really tell, because if they were on drugs, they'd be like, "I'm on drugs," and they'd be really nice to you, and they'd be like, and then I never had any like ability to tell like what was what. But I just remember in Berlin, I would be like walking around, and I didn't know I was in a bike lane, and people, if I walked in the bike lane, they would try to hit me on
purpose. They're very aggressive about it.
It's insane.
And
I was like a foreigner.
Cologne,
I didn't even know.
Yeah, bro, no, it's like the same in Cologne, because I run, and I used to go to this park all the time to run, and people would be biking not even in the bike lane, just like in this park where there are also runners, and they would get so mad if I was running in front of them. I was like, I can't do anything about this. I don't know, I do feel like, I mean, Berlin is kind of weird though, right? Especially the scene or whatever that I'm in, because you get a lot of like...
Oh, wow, thank you.
You're welcome.
A lot of weird like social, I hate this term social climber, or like clout chaser. I hate this term because I think people use the term clout chaser to like dunk on people who, like, with success, and they're jealous of their success. I feel like it's kind of a jealous, it's jealous terminology.
Yeah.
It's like, what makes someone a clout chaser? Their friend, they happen to be good at, like, I don't know, networking and, like, making friendships. But there is a lot of that in Berlin, so it's difficult to know if someone's like...
Hey, so that's why I was really confused. The chili has beef in it, so do you want chili and chicken on it?
Oh, that's in the taco salad?
Yeah.
I'll just have the chili.
Just the chili. Okay.
Chicken and beef
together.
Yeah,
that's why I was like, I think there's meat in it, but I have not slept in like 2 days.
No, it's all good. Yeah, that's haram. I can't.
I feel like it's a weird invective people hurl around, but sometimes it's very accurate. But at the same time, it's like, when somebody's just good at something and they're committed and they're showing high effort, all that stuff doesn't really matter. And I feel like, you know, it's just, it's really, really weird, especially now. Like, I don't, you know, you definitely see, like, some weird operators and people, like, really sort of going out of their way to, like, get something out of a situation that is, I don't know. I mean, we all do it, you know? There's no escaping networking or whatever.
Well, everyone has to do it, but then it's like a social faux... It's a faux pas if you're obvious about it.
Yeah.
So you have to find a way to be a social climber kind of clandestinely.
Like, do you have to?
I think so, yeah. Like, there's this one person who...
I feel like it's funny to be like... When somebody's just like, all I care about is money and attention. They're just like... upfront about it, and they know.
Well, that's kind of, yeah. I mean, there's this one person who kind of friendship groomed me.
Oh, wow.
And they were like sending, like, they would be responding to all my Instagram stories or whatever, being like, oh, queen, like, you're my favorite producer in the world. And then, like, slowly but surely, they started being like, so who, like, booked you on this gig and that gig? And can you tell me, like, how you did this and that? And do you have any music you could send me for free? And which is fine. I always said, like, yes, absolutely, is the answer. But it was, like, very interesting how they just kind of, like, slowly, like, wormed their way into the, you know.
Yeah. Well, that's the whole thing with, like, everything going on in New York right now. It's just like, there's all this question of like, well, why are you associating? What? Why are you interested? Why are you there? Why are you making yourself the central focal point of this thing? And there's like, oh, nice. I think there's a lot of validity to questioning why your interest in proximity and also deflecting the narrative back onto you and your experience instead of in this like journalistic way where like a journalist is like, it's not really about you. And all journalism is now, I guess, first person. Like that's what people want. So it's like the journalist becomes
part of the story.
Becomes part of the story. And I think that's bad journalism. Like, I just don't think it's about... It's not about you, per se. But that's, like, what everybody wants. And I think that's a part of the problem, is there is no... you know,
Do people really want it, though? Because I feel like... Do you remember how, like, maybe 3-4 years ago, there was this, like, massive spate of, like, ExoJane-style confessional articles that were... It was a really big boom, and... Like, there would be, I remember there's this one, like, Jezebel article that was like, yeah, I was in an incestuous relationship with my father, and here's, like, 50,000 words about it. I feel like people are really tired of it, and I saw, like, a lot of backlash to it, but I don't know. Like, with this guy in New York writing the, like, Substack piece, I think he's trying to be some sort of, like, Lester Bangs, like, well, that's, like, rock journalism, but... Mm-hmm. He's just trying to be very, like, Lester Bangs. Like, if you read that Lester Bangs interview with Lou Reed or whatever.
Yeah.
He really, Lester Bangs positions himself as a sort of infiltrator into this, like, wacky scene that Lou Reed is a part of. But he does it in a very fun and, like, gonzo, like, flamboyant way.
Yeah.
And you can see, like, I was literally going through some of these Substack articles today, and they're talking about all these people... in this particular scene, who I literally don't know 95% of them are, like, they're already important, you know? There's this one article mentioning this DJ, and as though he were, like, a member of the factory or something. It was, like, very bizarre.
Yeah.
Like, stop trying to be cool. Like, I don't know. It's like,
well,
actually
it's funny because they all... Well, there's a point to that, and, you know, of course they don't make any art here. The point isn't art. The point is the cultivation of a persona. It's like, so it's arbitrary to critique them on the grounds of not making art because it's never been about making art. So it's kind of like, I know this might be sort of like a crude...
Thank you. You're welcome, guys.
Like a crude example, but something like... you know.
Damn, this is intense as fuck.
Yeah, it's like weird. It's like something like insulting a prostitute by calling him or her a whore or something like that. I don't know if that's like crude. Sorry. It's just like, yeah. But it's just kind of funny to me that there's no... Yeah, and music is really weird. I wanted to ask you actually about... like techno and compression and the exceeding bounds of BPM, because your stuff seems like very considered in a way that a lot of it does not.
But
it has a lot less reverb.
I used to do the big reverb kicks. Like, there are a couple tracks where I have that, but I mostly did it because I just kind of found the perfect effects rack to do it. Like, I've made the best, like, I don't know, techno reverb kick effects rack, so I kind of overused it. Like, I have these tracks like Too Late, and like this one song, Swan's Lament, has this big techno reverb kick. But I don't know, I have a big problem. Like, it actually really breaks my heart. Like, the current state of techno or whatever.
Yeah, what about it in particular? Is it like cultural or is it production wise? Because to me,
both. Yeah, well, I mean, it's like this. It's like what we were saying in the car earlier, where everything has to reference something. I mean, sampling is
Josh.
Sampling is like inherent to inherently important in electronic music.
Yeah.
But so much of the stuff that really blows up, and like, for example, techno TikTok or whatever. Like, the biggest thing on there right now is like techno remixes of like. What the fuck is the song? The Kate Bush. Why am I forgetting this like extremely popular song?
Running up the hill.
Yeah. It's like a techno remix of Running Up That Hill.
But why?
And it's the same kick and it's the same bass. But the same sort of like vaguely triplet like techno like reverb bass with like a sample that everyone knows over it. And this is like. If you want to make a song that is going to blow up, there's a real formula to it right now, in techno in particular.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, yeah, a lot of creativity has been kind of thrown by the wayside. And,
I just think about how electronic music has no high or low pass filter, and it's all just psychoacoustics that are really sort of imparting something different on our mind than old versions of music. And it's becoming, I feel like it's a little demystifying the whole like psychoacoustic, spatial, like artificial harmonic stuff. Of just, it's not even artificial because in a lot of ways it's more, it's rendered more accurately.
What do you mean like artificial harmonics? Like what, like
you know how like, you know, like, psychoacoustic plugins that, like, extend the lows and stuff? It's just, like, people aren't used to hearing that. And, like, all old techno sounded very compressed to me. It was with, like, a very limited mid-focused bandwidth of just, you know... Because, like, an analog 909, like, it punches hard, but it punches really hard and, like... the upper mid range, so that's,
and it also punches really hard, like obviously, like right in the center of your mix, right?
Yeah.
And now there are all these sort of like exactly like psychoacoustic VSTs that allow you to really manipulate the stereo space. And,
yeah. But they also manipulate your mind. Like I feel like it's all a psyop or something.
VSTs are a psyop. Yeah.
Or psychoacoustics are not to even say it's a bad thing. I just. It's so weird, like, just listening to, like, a country song and then listening to, like...
No, it actually fucks with your brain.
Yeah.
Like, having been producing music and listening to this kind of music for so long, I mean, like, you saw my DJ set yesterday, it was so much of this, like, hard dance, like, and, you know, I kind of complain about it, but I love the music at the same time.
Yeah, it's so good.
But it's so
loud.
Your
shit is actually good.
It's so loud. And then you'll sit back and listen to, like, singer-songwriter music. Bob Dylan, like you said yesterday, Bob Dylan.
Yeah.
Like, listen to Technotrack, then listen to Blowing in the Wind, like, right one after the other. Like, a Technotrack made in 2022. And that, your brain, it's like a massive mindfuck.
Yeah, well, you were talking about Stairway to Heaven, how the dynamic range is insane from the beginning to the end, and it kind of like blows up. It's like
it's completely foreign, actually. Like,
can
this...
people even appreciate that song anymore? Because I do. Like, I listen to it. In the Light is my favorite Led Zeppelin song ever. Yeah, it's so good. Oh, yeah, sure. Thank you.
Do you want another beer?
No, thank you. Yeah, it's an incredible song.
In the Light is amazing. And it has, like, that synth part at the beginning, and it sounds all, like, Eastern and strange, but... like, I don't even feel like there's anything being made like that anymore. Because even, like... I guess what's popular now is, like, Alex G or whatever in rock music, where it's, like, this kind of nebulous slacker rock, which I like. I mean, I love Beck. I listen to Beck, like, all the time because I just feel like it's so creative. The lyrics are insane. They're just, like, devil's haircut. There's a devil's haircut in my mind. It's like, what the fuck? Why can't people... come up with lyrics, like, just even a thought like that, your ability to think like that just doesn't even seem possible. And to me, like, that's what I want to return to, like, just expanding your imagination to where you have no conceptual reference points, and all you're doing is doing it because you think it sounds good. Like that, like a devil's haircut. Like,
there's well, the fun thing about a lyric like that is that, which we also, which is why I really, like yesterday I was talking about this new Black Midi album, it's why I really like Black Midi. I failed to remember the vocalist's name, but his lyrics are fun because of the way he delivers them, first of all. It's very theatrical, and not in a self-conscious, weird way. It's just in, like, kind of a purely nerdy way, which I really appreciate. And also the lyrics are, I don't know, like, main character syndrome moment, but, like, when I first started producing music, I was doing it because I was, like, writing poems.
Oh, wow.
And I wanted to, like, put the poems in a sort of, like, sonic envelope, right? Because I felt like just writing wasn't enough or it wasn't really challenging.
Because you started as a writer, right?
Yes, embarrassingly.
That's
but the,
cool.
The fun thing about setting these poems to music back when I first started in, like, 2017, when I was, like, 22, you know, was that you could be really kind of, you could be lyrically very experimental because then the lyrics became, the poems became kind of like sonic matter. So you could say stuff that was kind of like, that didn't make sense lyrically, but was very interesting sonically. And a Beck lyric like that kind of is doing the same thing.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, like, it's a real shame because I couldn't tell you, like, what's going on in, quote-unquote, like, rock music band. Like, I'm so wrapped up in this. That's, like, another kind of substance. I'm, like, so wrapped up in this, in, like, music production world. But the thing is, like, I actually don't really listen to, like, music that much.
Really?
Well, I do as much as I can.
That's like Lil Wayne.
But when you're producing music, like, if you're really, like, you're kind of referencing your own stuff. Like, I'm at a point where I'm just kind of, like, referencing my own stuff constantly, which, of course, references a million other things, but, like, I don't have time to listen to all the music that I want to listen to.
That's one of the reasons why I feel like I quit making music, is so I could listen to music
more. No.
Like, that's actually probably the main thing I missed, is, like, when I was, like, a painter or whatever, and my main focus was visual art, I just had music on all the fucking time. And once I started making music, especially, you know, it was one thing, like, playing guitar in, like, bands, because you have a lot less mental bandwidth, like, expended. It's just you're sort of focusing on a singular instrument, and you're like, yeah, I could rock out, put on some, like, Def Leppard whenever I get home or whatever, you know what I mean? And it's different. But when you're actually in production, it's like, you're sort of in this process of, like, world making, like the way, like the way William Blake would never reference anything outside of his own, out of a very specific, limited canon, so he could create an entire system. And the problem with art today is, it's like you're stuck in, like, a really weird place. So you have, like, on one hand, you're just circle jerking your friends and talking about how great your little scene is and how other people who are not a part of your scene is missing out, and you've reinvented the Warholian thing, but, like, a billion times worse. And on the other end, you're this sort of, like, cosmist where you have to create and overcompensate for your lack of, like, discourse by creating this whole